Hey friends, it's Fred Greenhalgh, producer here at Realm. A new episode of Ominous Thrill is ready for your ears. It's Advice After Dark. Late night radio host Belladonna delivers extreme advice to the delight and horror of her audience until a creepy listener forces her to confront the brutal consequences of her show. Here's a preview.
Welcome to my live stream, Bella. Say hello to everyone.
What do you want?
Click the link. Watch along.
I'm not clicking links from psychos.
You put that trash on the radio every night and I'm the psycho?
You sound like you need help.
I'm not one of your fake callers. My show is very, very real. Do you want to know what it's called?
No, I don't.
It's called Belladonna Gets What's Coming. Starring you.
What?
It's really starring me, but it's all about you. And you'd be surprised how many people want to watch you get what's coming.
I called the police. They'll be here any minute.
Yeah, well, we should be done before they get here.
Find Ominous Thrill out now, everywhere you listen.
Greetings, adventurers. Before we begin today's tale, we'd like to talk about our sponsor for a service that is both useful and important. We speak, of course, of NordVPN. NordVPN is a virtual private network application, basically a magic item with infinite counterspell scrolls that can work against the scrying factions of the interwebs and various protective charms that keep your virtual communication pigeons and messages safe. In a technical sense, it establishes a secure connection to a remote server in the astral plane and allows you to access so much more content from across the world and greater multiverse.
We set up our podcasting business while we still lived in the US, but after moving to Germany, we saw several problems arise we hadn't expected. Some of the things we needed on a daily basis are region-locked to the US, like our banking. So we started using a VPN to securely log onto the banking website until we could talk to our bank about the issue. After 2 hours talking with them, their grand solution was exactly what we had figured out: NordVPN.
But NordVPN isn't only a stoic bodyguard, it also has a fun side. Did you know that a large variety of entertainment is region locked, like your old DVDs? What's a DVD? Let's not make us feel old and instead explain that while you're logged into NordVPN, you can stream television shows as if you were in a different country. I mean, realm state. So you might have access to an entirely new lineup of great entertainment from services you're already paying for and subscribed to. NordVPN even unlocked a menagerie of new German horror content we'd never even heard of and are delighted to be enjoying every week.
To get the best discount for your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/darkdice. Our link also gives listeners 4 extra months on a 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you've been thinking about using a VPN or are looking for a newer and safer way to utilize the content you're already paying for,
or are really paranoid that the Silent One is secretly reading your emails,
give NordVPN a try.
Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey everyone, this is Travis, the creator of Dark Dice. First, I have a couple of updates before the episode begins. Dark Dice will be returning in August with its regularly scheduled horror-based content. But the most important part of what I need to tell you is this. The internet community that is Dark Dice has banded together and raised over $10,000 for the Trevor Project. This monumental task could not have been accomplished without your support, and we just wanted to say a huge thank you to everyone involved, the fantastic artists, the fantastic storytellers, dungeon masters, game masters, Mizushiba and Erebus Adora, who did all of the artwork for our merchandise and for the event, Stephen Malin and Brandon Boone for doing the music for the episode, the fantastic voice actors who lended their voices to our story and brought the characters to life, David Ault for voicing Ayas Innskeep and agreeing to go on 10 speed dates, even though he, the actor, and the character had no idea what this entailed and that it would be so crazy, and Dallas Wheatley for really co-directing and co-producing this story. We could not have done this without them. So Huge thanks to everyone involved. Again, we've raised over $10,000, and that is incredible. In addition to having fun, we were also able to make a real impact in the real world. So, let's get to this wonderful episode. Dark Dice, a date with Uriel. Some time had passed since the speed-dating event, which was a success. After Fezziwig passed Aias the contact information for multiple individuals, Aias got in touch with Uriel under the pretense of purchasing mushrooms for his shop. Uriel used their meeting as an excuse to ask Aias on a second date, and it happened. After a very fun series of adventures and misadventures left in their wake, we catch them at the Gilded Den, which they returned because the food was surprisingly good last time. The paintings on the walls had all been sold. The evening was coming to an end, and we catch the couple at their dinner table.
So we've done a lot today. Yeah. I can't believe the city has changed so much.
Yeah, well, there was that... Where was it that you got me to meet? Because it was a school when I got there. But
I don't know. I've been up in the woods for so long.
Yeah, but didn't you say it was an old temple or something?
Probably.
I mean, I know it looks sort of temple-ish, but it was kind of... Anyway, it's lucky that you got there in time. Otherwise, I was about to think that I'd been stood up, really.
Aw, I tried to be punctual. It was sort of bred into me by my father. But these days, I try to be a little more relaxed about stuff like that.
That's fair enough. I'm really quite thankful that you were quite relaxed after that speed dating session, because I really didn't think that you were going to pick me. I was quite surprised.
Oh well, same here.
Also,
I do appreciate you coming up and purchasing some mushrooms from me as well. It was very smooth, Mister.
Yeah, well, got to use the expertise, and then also check out the merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially if I'm going to be selling things on, I'm sure we can come to a very, very mutually beneficial arrangement.
So, what did you do with them? Did you eat them, or I don't know, do some sort of spell casting with them?
No, I'm not really much of a spellcaster at the moment, but I
feed them to your kids to make them go to sleep.
I would never, but I did a stroganoff with some of them, and the more recreational ones were ingested elsewhere.
Oh.
Shall we say?
Interesting. Besides the mouth?
Well, no, of course the mouth.
Listen, we live in a strange place with many strange creatures. So you got to tell me, who are some of the other people that you rejected? Let's talk dirt. Give me all the dirt.
Oh, well, I can't say that I rejected them.
But you did. You're so kind.
Well, I know. That was the thing. We had to. We can only pick one or two.
So I wasn't your first choice? Is that what you're telling me? No, it's fine. I can take it. I'm a big boy. I have to tell you this one thing.
Okay.
So I went on a date with, during the speed dating, I went on a date with this pixie.
Oh, right.
And they were only the size of my hand, right?
That must have been interesting.
I mean, there was zero chemistry. You know, okay. There was very little chemistry. I mean, I was nervous. They were nervous. I think, you know, it was a weird, you know, like I just kept drinking, you know,
to make the evening go
on a little bit better. But I have to admit, I was very intrigued by what our children would have looked like. You know, like would they be big like me or little like them? Or like, would they have the sort of darker skin like me? Or would they have like pink sparkly? I almost wanted to go on a second date with them but then I thought like, oh, I'm kind of tokenizing this poor person for really, which is just my, you know, I should probably just write in my journal, write a poem about it and then burn it and then never speak of it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And going on a second date just to go and have kids.
Seems... Oh, I mean, just not even to have kids, just to like look at them and think, what would our kids look like? It'd probably be pretty, pretty stalkerish, I think is the word for that.
Maybe.
Yeah. But you know what? I feel like I can tell you that. Like, I feel like we've bonded, you know, like you would appreciate how creepy I am in real life.
I like it.
Thanks. You're pretty creepy yourself.
That's very kind.
tell me about some of the reject piles.
Oh, well, I met some really nice people.
That's good.
I learned an awful lot about pronouns.
Ah, good.
Got some they thems. Got some she thems. Got some he she's. Actually, there was who was a lycanthrope who was male in one form and female in wolf form.
That would have been quite. I'm kind of jealous of them, actually.
I know. It would have been quite interesting. She at that point did offer to bestow her gift upon me. I'd be interested to see what they did with the horns, really.
Yeah, that sounds like quite the life choice.
Yeah.
Like, I think once you're in, once you're committed, there's no way out of that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know of any mushrooms that you can use for that.
Oh, yeah. No. I can't commit to showing up to a date on time. So, you're safe with me.
That's all right then. Yeah.
Oh, so your kids are at home by themselves, or?
Oh, no.
You didn't knock them out with any magic potions or magic mushrooms?
No. Because
that's my idea of childcare. That's my childcare, really, honestly.
Well, I hope you are actually going to like them when I introduce them to you.
I love kids. Kids are great.
You just couldn't eat a whole one.
No, absolutely not. Just give them some sugar and tell them to go outside and play when you get tired of them.
I like your style. I really do.
And I live on the edge of a cliff, so pretty easily disposed of. Unless they have wings, of course, and then they usually find their way back.
Yeah. No, mine don't. Mine will hit the ground.
Yeah, tell me about your kids. What do they look like?
There's Baron, who is a dwarf.
In size or in genealogy?
Both.
Both.
He's really, really smart, but in the way of smart kids, he's a little bit temperamental. He has his off days, his off hours, his off minutes, but he has the times where he is so smart and so like he could do anything. Have you ever seen someone that's able to grab a piece of clay and just with the fingers and just make something that looks so good? It's totally unlike that wax museum we went to. But he's one of those. And Ald, she's half dwarf, she's someone that can argue her way around anything. Interestingly enough, she's also a blacksmith. We make do. We make do with our little store.
Yeah, tell me about your store. I don't think I've been.
Have you not?
No, I don't think so. It's in town, right?
Yeah, this is why I had to be the smooth one and come up and buy some mushrooms from you.
I need to get out more.
Yeah, so it's basically whatever people want to sell, then I will sell it for them.
Wait, why don't they just sell it themselves?
Well, some people don't have the time, or they live up on the mountain next to a cliff and don't really get into town very much.
There's no Craigslist? No Craigslist?
And no what?
Craigslist. That guy Craig, he's got a list of stuff he sells. Anyway, must be your competition.
Well, it was very, really quite kind of you then to come out and see so much of the city with me earlier.
Yeah, of course.
That was a really nice little fortress that we went to.
So, about that wax museum.
Oh,
that was creepy.
Just a bit.
I don't understand why, in a world where magic is real, there's wax figures. And were they real people that were turned into wax, or like via magic, or were they like wax reproductions?
Yeah, I hope it wasn't people that have actually been turned into stuff. But
like that statue of the Magus, like it was so realistic. I thought this must be an enchanted object.
Yeah, you'd think that given that there's magic around, that you'd be able to do things with a reasonable amount of precision.
Yeah.
Some of those, I really literally can't say that I've seen worse, especially that elk.
I don't think I can either. I mean, that was like some of the statues were missing fingers.
Yeah.
Where I'm assuming just local school kids have just like ripped them off as a prank. And then they had the audacity to like exit us through the gift shop.
Yeah.
And like everything in the gift shop was so terrible.
Yep.
And so overpriced.
Yep.
Somebody
wouldn't even take mushrooms.
No, well, of course they wouldn't take mushrooms. I should have taken mushrooms. Would have been more enjoyable. Now, I do have to say, I think my favorite activity was the boat trip we went on.
Oh, the punting.
I'll say it again.
Oh, the punting.
Yeah. Say it again, yeah. Only slower.
Punting.
Okay.
Punting.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I could listen to that for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm still not as good at the punting as I'd like to be. You'll have to show me how sometime.
Oh, I think you managed quite well.
Yeah.
Apart from when you, like, tipped us in, that wasn't...
I know. It was kind of not totally on accident, but, you know.
Right, I see.
I'm pretty good with big pulls.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
But
pretty dexterous. Ambidextrous I am.
Are you really?
Yeah, very much. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite cute seeing you wet, though.
Play your cards right, and we'll see what we can do about that.
Yeah.
Just forgotten what I was going to say.
That's all right. It was pretty magical. It was pretty magical.
It was, especially when it went, like, floating.
Mm,
like the river floating, not just us floating.
Yeah.
I have to say, for someone with skin of onyx rock, you didn't sink as quickly as I expected you to.
You know what? Because we're getting to know each other, I'm going to let that one slide. You know? Just like we're not all made of actual rock. You know?
Oh, you know.
Sometimes we just look like it. That's okay. That's right.
There's my sensitivity training going.
I mean, my dad has a heart of stone, so I don't, you know, blame you for that. And that's not figurative speech.
Oh. How does that work then?
I don't know. I didn't stay to find out.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Well, tell me a bit about yourself as well.
It's pretty quiet up there. Pretty quiet up on the mountain.
Oh, I know, but I'm talking about, like, before you, because you kind of have a bit of a military bearing.
I was a military brat. You know, folks were pretty wealthy, yet somehow we ended up moving around a lot, even though supposedly we had a nice palace of a home somewhere that I, you know, haven't seen since I was 10 years old. But yeah, I don't know. I mostly was raised by professors and teachers and commanders and things like that. And
you certainly come across as very well spoken and very,
thank you.
Very literate.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's partially my upbringing, just because we, you know, we had to study a lot of that in school. But then also partially because, well, I just get lonely up on that mountain, so I have a tendency to read a lot after the sun goes down, you know, after fortifying my, you know, my cabin in the woods from, you know, all the beasties out there that might want to come onto my land. Mostly I just, you know, curl up by the fire and read quite a bit. Do a little bit of writing. It's not very good. Yeah.
What sort of thing do you write?
Oh, poems about mushrooms, of course.
Do you have one?
I don't know. Maybe that's for a second date, I think.
Okay. I'll hold you to that.
Well, okay. This is one that I'm working on.
Okay.
But you can't laugh. You promise?
No.
All right. You promise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, promise. Promise.
This is just to say that I have eaten all the mushrooms in the icebox. I am so sorry. They were so delicious. And brown.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. I made it up myself. Beautiful. I really did.
Yeah, that's good.
All from my head. Straight from my head.
So you haven't been writing that for ages?
No. Well, I mean, I've been tinkering with it. You know, like, you know, spend all afternoon putting in a comma, spend all evening taking one out, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, well, thinking ahead then to second dates, I do have an idea for us.
Oh yeah,
that is if you want one.
Of course,
I'm
adventure.
Sort of
I know you seem like
gun.
A stay-at-home dad kind of guy, but I do like a little bit of adventure sometimes.
Well, yeah, adventure was, I've had enough of adventure just for the time being. But
I understand.
You know, curling up by the fire and you know listening to mushroom poetry.
Yeah,
that actually sounds quite good.
Yeah.
So there was this couple that came to the speed dating. Well, there's three of them now: Charlie and Torin and Joe. So yeah, three of them. But they came into the shop. Torin came into the shop because he was going to fix my roof. Able to sort that for, you know, even without the date. And he suggested that the Dwarven Gardens was a really nice place to go. They're underground gardens with all sorts of cave formations, ancient, beautiful stuff, phosphorescent.
Oh, they're not. It's gardens made by dwarves, not a little tiny garden.
No.
Okay.
Well, I suppose there's probably some dwarven, like some little tiny gardens, but not every dwarf is small.
Listen, I have to ask because, this town changes all the time. And I thought, that's the Dwarven Gardens. And it's just like a little 1 meter by 1 meter tomato patch or something.
No, I think.
Your idea sounds way better.
So it's got lights and water and a whole load of mushrooms. So I thought, I know it's a little bit of a busman's holiday, but
have you ever been there?
No, I was. Oh. It's just something I've heard about, and you know, I just thought, well, why not? I was going to take the kids, but
you should bring the kids. Let's go.
All right then.
Yeah, I think it's. I don't know. It's one of those things. I think it's nice to let kids kind of find their own way when their parents start to date. You know?
Yeah.
And especially if there's something pretty and shiny to distract them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
And then besides, we'll be underground. So, you know, if we need to, quote unquote, lose them for 15, 20 minutes, then it can't be that hard.
I really do like your style.
Thank you.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I certainly...
Say punting again.
Not with the kids, though. I don't know if they can swim.
That's fine. No, that's very acceptable. No punting with the kids.
No punting with the kids.
No. No, that's just for you and me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if the dwarves will be upset if we pick their mushrooms, though. We should probably, like, ask permission first.
Yeah, I'm sure we can ask.
You know, like, they get very terse, maybe is not the right word.
I know how tetchy
particular,
dwarves can
very
get.
Particular. That's it. They're very particular.
I mean, after you pointed out all those mushrooms earlier on today, I know that you could. There'll be very little that they can throw at you that you won't know about it.
Well, I mean, I learn stuff all the time. And, I mostly specialize in above-ground mushrooms. So I'm sure that there's lots of trade secrets that maybe they want to share, maybe they won't. I don't know.
Well, maybe it's a good idea that I'm bringing the kids then. So
bring the kids. Oh, and bring something, you know, something that looks nice, but is maybe not, won't break the bank from the shop. It's probably good that we offer them a gift of some kind if we're going to go.
Yeah,
trolloping around their garden, their dwarf garden.
Good. Well, I think it's a normal-sized garden.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but
dwarven garden. Like big. Depends how big the caves are.
I know. I imagine they're huge.
They probably are, really. I'm sure I've got a few things. In fact, I've got the best harmonica that plays tunes backwards.
Oh, wow.
It is brilliant.
Does it play it by itself, or do you have to... Is it enchanted, or you...
Well, it's got...
Or does it need a player, or does it just go on its own?
Sometimes you can play, and then it plays it backwards.
Wow.
Sort of as a kind of wind it up in one way, and then it goes... It unwinds the other.
Okay.
It can be played normally, but it's even better when you play a tune than hear it backwards.
Oh, that sounds amazing. How long has it been in your shop? Is it not sold yet?
It's a behind the counter item.
Oh, excellent. That's excellent. That's excellent.
You know, that's one of the things about owning a shop is that, you know, you go out and you find all the different things, and then there are some things that you want to hang on to, really.
Yeah.
Or you only want it to go to the right person.
Oh, sure. Yes, that must be. Yeah, definitely.
And sometimes some things really don't want to be sold to people, and that's a whole other conversation in and of itself, really.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Enchanted objects must be pretty tricky.
Yeah, some of them really are.
Oh, speaking of new objects, what about those shoes you got there?
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things that it's... One of my little things that I have a pair of shoes for every occasion.
Okay.
So whether it's going bowling or going bouldering or going down a cave or going down a sewer.
No, wait, those are all activities that require their own shoes.
Exactly. I've got a pair of shoes for every occasion.
But like walking through the park versus walking around a lake?
I've got shoes.
Okay.
Yep.
Walking through a lake of fire.
Vulcanized rubber. I've got a pair of shoes for that.
Uh-huh. Walking through a lake of blood.
I tend to walk on top of it rather than through it, but, you know, enchanted shoes
sure,
for that.
Sure. That makes sense. Walking through a cloudy air lake.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah?
That's fun.
Yeah. So you have shoes that fly? Do you have any flying shoes? Any shoes with wings? Any shoes with wings on them that don't fly?
Yes.
Okay. That are just normal shoes. They just happen to have wings.
Sometimes I let Baron have have some crayons, and one of the times he got into my shoe cabinet, and you know, I've got a few shoes that have dinosaurs on,
okay,
things like that. Yeah, so yeah. You know, kids.
Yeah, of course. Give them some sugar. Tell them to play outside.
Yeah, when I move up to the cliff.
Yeah, that's right. And give them the winged shoes, and be like, yeah. see you at dinner time, kids. Daddy and Daddy have some adult business to attend to.
It's funny, the babysitter that I've left them with is actually someone I met at the speed dating event.
They must be a sore loser. Put a point on it.
I think he's just happy to get away from his mother.
Oh, that, yeah. Well, you know what? You made a new friend.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. I mean, it's not all rejection.
And what's wrong with his mother?
A little bit on the overly precious side.
Oh, I see.
Shall we say?
So has that made him extra cautious or extra wild? Because I find, you know, as someone who came from rather strict parents, it's kind of either go one or the other. You know, the preacher's son, the military brat, that sort of thing.
I haven't had occasion to find out. I thought I would...
So wait, you left your children with someone that you have only met for 10 minutes?
He seemed very reasonable. They'll be fine.
Good, yeah. Good thing they're tough. Kids are tough these days.
Aud was possessed by a demon, so you know she's got form.
I'm kind of worried about the babysitter then.
Well, he's you come back his home. Mother he's
gonna be
around,
like,
so
he's gonna be like burnt up to a pile of ash or something like that.
Well, if he tries anything, yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, because you know how kids are. They're like, oh, there's a new babysitter. We have to like stand our ground and you know turn them into a frog or something.
No, I've drilled some respect into them.
I'm still a little bit worried about this babysitter, though. Because your kids sound like a handful, I do have to say.
They've got hearts of gold, they really do. You'll love them, and they'll love you.
Oh, wait, alright, it looks like I think the tavern might be closing soon.
Yeah, well, drink up, and, do you want to go back to mine?
Sure.
Cool.
Say punting again.
Punting.
All right, you're mine.
Dark Dice, A Date with Uriel. Starring Cecil Baldwin as Uriel and David Ault as Ias Inskeep. With music by Brandon Boone and Stephen Malin. Editing and sound design by Travis Vengroff. Mixing and mastering by Marissa Ewing of Hemlock Creek Productions. And executive production by Dallas Wheatley. A special thanks once again to everyone who helped vote and make this episode possible. Our journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God will continue next month.
A story of monsters, mystery, and myth. And the four adventurers who have banded together as heroes and as friends.
And then he hears Val's voice from above, and then he basically feels better.
Yeah.
Who come together to make the world a little safer for their fellow mortals. Large creatures.
I brought Hody!
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't put Hody in danger.
Well, I guess it's hero time. Reckless Attack is a weekly, collaboratively built, and character-driven D&D 5th Edition actual play podcast. Join us at our table as we explore a homebrew fantasy world whose future is built on the mistakes of the past. A story of ultra giants and saints, legends and rediscovery, and stacks of frogs.
Chakras is building his own Ewok village.
Yes, he is. Check us out at recklessattack.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.